Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
On the Bucks in the Basement. My name is Chris Lanuti. I am one half of Bucks in the Basement. The real super fan is Craig Toth. Craig writes for Inside the Bucks Basement, and the man has been churning out articles on that website every day throughout this entire shutdown. He wants baseball back badly, and so do I, but until that happens, we're simulating our own Pittsburgh Pirates season using MLB The Show 20 every Monday night. We get together and talk live on the Podbean app, and it's free to get in any app store across any type of device. Join us at 9 p.m. Eastern time as we talk about what's going on with the Pirates in real life and also, in the background, simulate a game for you with a radio broadcast. Interact and even get to make some decisions in the game. Then the game is put out with that entire broadcast and all of our talk on demand, everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com. What you're listening to right now is Twibs, This Week in Bucks Simulation. It's the other games of the week that you didn't get to hear on that broadcast to keep you up to date on what's going on in our season, where we've taken over the Pirates and decided just on a couple of rules. One, the only free agents we're going to pick up are guys that are still actually available to the Pirates right now. For example, Craig picked up Yasiel Puig, I picked up Scooter Gennett, and a few pitchers were added to the team. Two, when it comes to trades, they have to be proposed to us from other teams. We've acquired Miguel Sano. We had to give up Cabrian Hayes, but he is leading the team in most offensive categories, and he's only 25, 26 years old. Pirates still have control over him, and I believe in real life, they would have made that deal if it was offered to them. So our broadcast that's up right now is the finale of a three-game set that would have happened this past Sunday between the Pirates and the Colorado Rockies. In Colorado, the ball was going to fly out, and it did. 7-6, the Pirates won, and if you want to listen to that game and the broadcast, which was a lot of fun, it's now on demand, everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com. After that, the team had Monday off, and then the New York Yankees came to town. The 37-34 Pittsburgh Pirates hosted James Paxton. Chris Archer took the mound for us. And both pitchers were very, very good. Archer goes 6 innings, gives up only 4 hits, 6 walks though, 8 strikeouts, and 1 earned run. Paxton matches him. He goes 7, 5 hits, an earned run. He walked 6, struck out 4. The issues for the Pirates, unfortunately though, began when they were unable to score any more runs in regulation. That's right, 9 innings, 1-1 game. So the bullpen keeps getting called on. Rodriguez, Neshek, they both do very well. Then trade acquisition Bauman comes in and takes a loss. 2/3 of an innings pitched. He starts the 10th inning, gives up 2 hits, back-to-back home runs in the top of the 10th inning. And even though Zach Duke gets in there to try to finish out that inning, the Pirates are unable to score anything else. 1 run on 5 hits over 10, and they lose to New York 3-1. Game 2 was a pitcher's duel for about 3 innings. Trevor Williams came out and did very well through the first 3. Masahiro Tanaka did much better. He goes 7, gives up 4 hits, and only 3 earned runs. He walks 5, strikes out 5. The problem is that in the 4th inning, Williams implodes. 5 runs cross the plate. Back-to-back-to-back home runs. Gardner, Judge, and Voit. Williams can't even finish the 4th, and Ross Stripling, newly acquired in a trade with the Dodgers, comes in. He settles things down, but it's too late. Even though the Pirates get 3 runs in the bottom of the 7th, with Gennett, Colin Moran, and Gonzalez driving in the runs. A fielding error by Moran late in the game, and another run tacked on in the 9th. This game finishes 7-3 in favor of the Yankees. Luckily, it was only two games because the Pirates were clearly overmatched. Unfortunately, at this point, the Pirates are 37-36, and they have a day off on Thursday. The Toronto Blue Jays then come to town. Before this homestand started, Craig and I said that against these two American League teams that can hit very well, the Pirates needed to go 2-3. That would be acceptable even at home. They've already lost two, and now they have to face Toronto. Enter Alex Wood, acquired in a trade with the Dodgers. Yes, they've given us two pitchers so far in trades. With Ryu going for Toronto, this turns into a game with only six hits between the two teams. Luckily for the Pirates, two of their four hits happen back-to-back right at the beginning of the game. Newman hits a leadoff single, and Brian Reynolds doubles him home from first base. It's 1-0, and now the pitching duel begins. Wood goes seven innings, giving up only one hit and one walk, striking out eight. Vizcaino comes in for the hold with a perfect 1-2-3 inning, striking out all three batters, and Kiyonakela comes in for the ninth, getting his 23rd save, giving up one hit in the inning, but not allowing it to cross. Only two hits from Toronto against Pittsburgh Pirates pitching, and they get the win on Friday, 1-0. Game two of the series felt a lot like game one. Ryan Borucki takes the mound against Mitch Keller, and through four innings, it's nothing but goose eggs. After Keller finishes the fifth, not giving up anything, even though he allowed five hits and one walk, the Pirates strike. With the bases loaded and two outs, Brian Reynolds comes to the plate and skies one into deep left center field. A grand slam in the bottom of the fifth inning chases Borucki, who finishes with 4 2/3 innings pitched, seven hits, all four of those runs, one walk and two strikeouts. The best thing about the grand slam, it should never have happened. The bases get loaded up on a fielding error by Rowdy Tellez with two outs. All four runs were unearned. Unfortunately, Mitch Keller makes it into a game. He comes out, can't get any outs in the top of the sixth inning, and ends up giving up two runs without recording an out in the sixth, and it's 4-2. Luckily, Zach Duke gets out of that inning, striking out three of the four batters that he faces in relief of Keller. Rodriguez pitches two solid innings, giving up one hit with four strikeouts. Meanwhile, in the bottom of the sixth inning, a double by Bell and a home run from Miguel Sano makes it 6-2. The Pirates tack on another run in the bottom of the eighth. Bauman pitches a perfect ninth, and Pittsburgh wins its second straight game 7-2. The Pirates went for the sweep on Sunday, and boy, did they shut down Toronto again. Joe Musgrove, who has had some of the worst luck, goes seven strong. In fact, he carried a no-hitter into the sixth inning before giving up a solo home run, five strikeouts, and only two walks. Nishik and Rodriguez combine for 2 1-2-3 innings in the eighth and the ninth. And the Blue Jays, with only one run on one hit, get destroyed by the Pirates 7-1. Sano, Jeanette, John Ryan Murphy, and Kevin Newman all have doubles. Frazier drives in two, Sano with one, Jeanette with two, Moran with one, and even Joe Musgrove got a hit and drove in a run. Late in the game, the Blue Jays hit Scooter Jeanette, causing the teams to empty the benches, but they had a heated conversation and nothing more. The Pirates take it to the Blue Jays, sweep them out of PNC Park with a 7-1 win. And going into our broadcast on Monday night, the Pittsburgh Pirates are now four games over 500, their high water mark for the season, at 40-36. And we will be heading to Washington, D.C. for four against the Nationals. Chris Archer is set to take the mound at 7-5 against Patrick Corbin, 7-3. The offense continues to be led by Miguel Sano, 264 average, 393 on base, an OPS of 951. He has 23 home runs. Scooter Jeanette, who spent the entire season with the team, has 15. He also carries 45 RBIs to go with his 279 average. He's getting on base at a 345 clip and slugging 484. Guess what? He's still available if the Pirates want him in real life. Yasiel Puig has really picked it up lately. The average is up to 254 since we put him in the leadoff role. He's getting on base at a 333 clip with a 749 OPS. He also has 9 home runs. Jason Martin, called up last week, has now hit a home run, stolen a base, driven in 3, and is hitting .333 with an OPS of .949 in limited time. Meanwhile, the true leader in batting average is Brian Reynolds, .312. He's added 5 steals, 7 home runs, and leads the team with 21 doubles. And the starting pitching is starting to come together. Musgrove has a compliment in Wood, both of them with a whip of 1.09. Wood's 8-3, though, and Musgrove's 6-8. The bad luck, though, seems to be turning around into good luck for him. Chris Archer is also 7-5 over 89 and a third innings with a 3.63 ERA and a whip of 1.42. Williams and Keller continue to be up and down, but now that Ross Stripling has joined the team and Richard Rodriguez continues to show that he is very effective out of the bullpen with his 1.06 whip and his 2.22 ERA over 28 and a third innings, there is some help in that bullpen. In the standings, we're still 5 games out of first place, trailing the Reds, with the Cubs a game in front of us in second. At home, we're 20-17. On the road, we're 20-19. But we've won 7 of our last 10 and are on a current 3-game winning streak. The National League wildcard picture is a mess. The Nationals, Braves, Diamondbacks, Phillies, and Cubs are all ahead of us. But at 40-36, we're actually only 2 games out of the picture. Around the league, the Nationals and the Braves are tied atop the East at 47-30. In the West, the Dodgers have a 3-game lead over the Diamondbacks at 46-32. In the American League, the Yankees are now 7 games up on the Blue Jays after the Pirates spanked them, 49-29. The Twins are 2.5 up on the White Sox and 3 games over the Indians at 45-34. And the Angels have a 2.5 game lead over the Astros, 47-30, with the Rangers still trying to stay in it at .500. It's shaping up to be a very interesting season. In fact, our new acquisition, Miguel Sano, that we picked up about a month ago, is already listed in MLB The Show 20 as one of the top 3 guys going for the National League MVP. Keona Kella is currently in the top 3 for the Reliever of the Year award. He also looks like he's going to be the closer at the All-Star game, according to the current vote. Sano could be a reserve, now in second place in the vote behind Nolan Arenado. And Brian Reynolds is closing in right now on Ronald Acuna Jr. for the center field spot. And that's where we're at right now, in a 2020 Bucks simulated season. Join us Monday night, live on the Podbean app. Be a part of the game. Help us make decisions. As Chris Archer at 7-5 with a 3.63 ERA takes on Patrick Corbin, 7-3 with a 3.02 ERA. It's the 40-36 Pirates against the 47-30 Washington Nationals. Hey, we're actually in a race here. Join us live or check it out on demand this week on the podcast For Fans, By Fans, Bucks in the Basement. Found everywhere podcasts can be found and always at bucksinthebasement.com.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.